If you want to take some notes tonight, now we're going to go back to this here. You hear me say on a regular basis that we follow the Apostle Paul. We follow the Apostle Paul as he follows Christ. We're followers of the Apostle Paul, not just in prison epistles like the hyperdispensationalist does. We follow the Apostle Paul in matters of faith and practice and doctrinal issues. We take the Bible and we view the doctrinal things in Romans to Philemon. There's not a lot about salvation in Romans to Philemon from the Apostle Paul. The majority is about the right way to live and the right things to do. So what you want to learn to do is you want to learn to put on Paul's glasses as you view the entire Bible so that you put the Bible in its proper places. Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. He is your apostle, the ones to the church. So I'm going to give you some verses tonight that clearly will show you why I teach that and why I clearly believe that, that the whole Bible may be written for you, but it's not written to you. Now take your Bible and come to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. And we'll go through these as quickly as possible, and I'll do my best to be mindful of your time. Romans chapter 15, verse number 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, not we, given to Paul. It's a special grace. That I, the Apostle Paul, should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, we shouldn't have to go any further than that, but there's no question at all that the Apostle Paul is making it clear here already in the book of Romans, look in Romans 16, that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's the one that you're to follow after. If you want to learn about studying the Bible, the first thing you want to do is become familiar with the Pauline epistles. Now, if you want to read the other books in the Bible, that's wonderful. That's fine. I'm not saying don't read those things. But you can get your doctrine messed up if you spend all this time in all these the Gospels and these transitional books and in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and you're looking for things. If you don't, first of all, firmly establish your foundation, and that is the Pauline epistles. Romans chapter 16, verse number 25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, can I ask you a question? The Apostle Paul says to you clearly his gospel is different than the gospel of the kingdom. My gospel, what is it? Look, if you will, please, in 1 Corinthians. Leave your finger right there in Romans. We're coming back. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's gospel is different. You know what he just said right there? He just said it was a mystery, that it wasn't revealed since it's been kept secret since the world began. It wasn't known to anybody in the Old Testament. That's why you have to be careful about people that are trying to put you back under the Old Testament law. You say, why? Because they didn't know anything at all about the church age. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I, that's what we're looking for, Paul's gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which you also were saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered, here it comes, you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, including himself, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Apostle Paul's gospel is Christ died for your sin according to scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to scripture. Jesus Christ never preached that. That's the gospel by which church age saints are saved. John the Baptist never preached that. The only one that preached that is the Apostle Paul. Peter didn't preach that, but he agreed with it later on. I'll show you that in a minute. Come to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Now, I realize for the large portion of you, this is a rehash, but it doesn't hurt to go back over these things. If nothing else, it'll humble you by the grace that God's shown you to show you some things that other people didn't have the benefit of knowing. There's a mystery that has been kept secret from people like, think about this, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi. Those are Old Testament prophets, great men of God. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
They didn't know what you know. It was kept as a mystery. They didn't see that thing. Look in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1, look in verse number 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Though we are an angel, that's pretty strong. If an angel comes down to you and says, repent and be baptized, he says, don't believe him, let the angel be cursed. You say, well, what did Peter preach? Peter preached Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Is Peter cursed? Paul said, if they preach any other gospel. See, if you don't make the right division, if you don't understand that Paul's mystery was revealed after what Peter was preaching, then you get to thinking, well, Peter must have preached something wrong, so the real gospel must be Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, or the gospel of the kingdom about healing the sick and so on and so forth. No, Paul's gospel is different because it's for a different time period and a different revelation that's given to him. So he says, if anybody preach any other gospel, why an angel? Because in the tribulation, in Revelation chapter number 14, an angel flies about and preaches the everlasting gospel. Fear God, keep the commandments. The Lord's coming. There's the gospel that's coming in. So what happens in Revelation 11? They give a reward to those that believe and them that fear God. That's for the ones that are in the tribulation. That's a different dispensation and it's a different gospel than the one that you believe. Your gospel for this age does not involve works, but in every other age it does. You're the only individual that are saved purely by grace through faith. It is simply a free gift, and you don't have to do anything to get it except accept it. You don't have to do anything to keep it except just be saved. That's y'all, and it's not even your salvation. David said to me in Psalm, or said to the Lord in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The mistaken idea is that you can hold your salvation. You can't in this age. It's not yours to hold. But the responsibility for maintaining that relationship with the Lord was put on every other dispensation. Dangerous if you cross that dispensational line and put that relationship, the situation on you, and as a judge as to whether or not you're saved, now you're applying stuff for other people. Now you got works as a part of what's going on, and now you're in trouble. You can't have works to do that stuff. All right, come back, if you will, please, while we're right there in Galatians, come to Galatians chapter number 1, look in verse number 16. And then we'll come back to Corinthians, talking about Paul being the apostle. His gospel is different. His preaching is different. The apostle Paul said, I came not to baptize in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, but to preach the gospel. Now, Paul did baptize, but Paul's primary thing was telling them, I'm not baptizing like Peter did for salvation. I'm not baptizing like John the Baptist did and those that got the baptism that revealed the Messiah. I'm not baptizing for salvation. I'm here to preach the gospel. Died for your sins according to Scripture, buried, raised again the third day. He baptized, but not as part of salvation. You got to get that. That's why he makes that definitive statement. Why? It separates him from those individuals that have been preaching that prior to the Lord coming and right after the Lord coming. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That's all they knew to preach. That's what John preached. And then Peter preached it. So Paul broke off from that. Verse 16, verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, that's you, that's Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The apostle Paul says there, he said, I was given a special responsibility and that I'm a Jew and I'm supposed to go to the heathen, the outcast, the ones nobody wants, the Gentiles. Galatians chapter number 2, look in verse number 7. Still talking about the apostle Paul and following him. Verse number 7. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, the uncircumcision is you. The Jews were circumcised. That's part of their religious ritual. The gospel of the uncircumcision, uncircumcised dogs, Gentile, was committed unto me. The gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Peter went to the Jew, Paul went to the Gentile. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So the apostle Paul is clearly setting himself up and telling you, come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians 4, he's clearly telling you that he is the one that has been called out to your people. He is a Jewish apostle sent to Gentiles. If you read Romans 9 and Romans 11 very carefully, you'll find out there's sort of a thing that's going on there where the Lord is provoking his people, the Jewish nation, to jealousy by calling you Gentiles. Jews would have nothing to do with Gentiles. Jews would have nothing to do with Samaritans, half-breed Jew and Gentile, nothing to do with those individuals at all. Jews were purebred, and they were told to stay away from that. The Apostle Paul's a Jew, and he would rather go to his people, but he's told to go where he didn't want to go. It'd be like for you going to the Muslims. That'd be like what it'd be. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you would please. Look, if you will, in verse number 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now you hear a lot of stuff, come to 1 Corinthians 11, you hear a lot of stuff nowadays about we don't follow a man, we don't follow a man, we don't follow a man. You do if you follow the Bible. If you follow the Bible, the Apostle Paul's a man just like you're a man in flesh just like you are, puts his britches on the same way that you do. You do follow a man. That's a rebel at heart that's saying nobody's going to take charge of me. That's an individual that says nobody can tell me what to do. We don't follow. And that sounds so spiritual. That sounds so, but it's not biblical. It may sound spiritual, but it's not biblical. It has to do with authority, like Brother Art brought up in the Bible study. That's our natural bent, is we can't stand to be told what to do. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to break that attitude or a big paycheck. Amen. You'd be surprised what you'll take if somebody will pay you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. But when it comes to other things, it's hard to take orders from somebody you think you're better than. You want to be a good Christian, you know what the Lord says? Let each esteem other better than himself. Amen. Whew, my goodness. You know what he says? He says, listen, I've got this attitude toward things. I'm going to gird myself. I'm the master. I'm going to gird myself with a towel. I'm going to pick up a wash basin, and I'm going to wash the feet of the apostles. They should be washing my feet, and they should be washing each other's feet. I'm going to wash their feet, and I'm even going to wash the feet of a devil. That's the Lord's attitude. The Lord's attitude is servants, not masters. The Lord's attitude is least, not greatest. The Lord's attitude is you don't walk in and say, you know what, I know I'm sitting at the head table. I mean, I'm here. I'm the chief. The Lord says, you come in and look for the lower seat. Let them come look for you and tell you, hey, we had your spot in here. Don't go into that high seat and them come in there and embarrass the tar out of you by saying, we appreciate you being here. You're a legend in your own mind. You're a VIP, but not here. You go sit in the lower room. Now you're all embarrassed. He said, just assume you take. That's the Lord's attitude. The Lord's attitude is down before up. And it's contrary to modern theology. It's natural to not want to listen to what God says, thus saith the Lord, from a man. You say, well, he's a man, he's just like I am, he's just in the flesh and all that stuff. That's your flesh talking to you. That's how God set it up. A fellow tells me one time, and he says, I don't need church, I don't like church, I don't need anything to do with church. I said, well, the Bible said Christ died for the church. How come you wouldn't love what he loves? I said, would you love it if you were the pastor? He said, well, that'd be different. And I said, well, I guess it would. I said, well, then why don't you pastor your own church of one? Answer a fool according to his folly. I said, what you do is you get up Sunday morning and you put on your suit and tie and go get you a full-length mirror and get your Bible and study Saturday night and get everything ready to go and then stand up there as the world's greatest preacher to the world's greatest congregation and preach the tar out of him. So he didn't say that. I did say that. Arrogant and trying to say, you know, who do you think you are trying to tell me? I said, listen, man, God called me to be a preacher. I'm supposed to preach. Yeah, but you just preach like it's an order. You just preach like you just tell everybody what to do. And you just preach. I said, listen, brother, I'm supposed to preach. I'm not up there to play tiddlywinks.
That's right. Amen.
I'm speaking for the Lord. You think, have you read your Bible? The Lord's not all the time. Would you please, and could I stress you a little bit and just ask you if it's possible for you to find time in your daytimer? That ain't how the Lord speaks. He said, well, it may not be how the Lord speaks, but you don't have any right to speak like the Lord. I said, okay, man, fine. And then that's when I told him what I did. So you said, well, you shouldn't have done that. I know, you would have handled it differently, but at the time I was in the flesh, I guess. Romans or 1 Corinthians 11. Verse number 1. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now here's how you can follow somebody. Are they following Paul in the Bible? Are they following Christ? You have a Bible to see if they are or not. And if they are, then you're safe in following them. You're listening to a guy preaching on the radio or a CD or the XM or what all the stuff is they got out there now. And he's in the Bible and you're reading your Bible and you're following along with him when he's preaching. And he sticks in the Bible and the Holy Spirit will give you complete comfort, even though you may not like it, to say the guy's in the Bible and it's okay, you're safe. Mouth of two or more witnesses. You have him talking, you got the Bible, and you got the Holy Spirit saying it's okay. but you may not like it. A lot of people don't like the old preacher come to Ephesians chapter 3. And the reason they don't is because he's rude in speech. Now, he has an earned PhD, and he's got a lot of education. He knows how to, he's rude in speech intentionally. He does it on purpose to upset people like that. But people have a tendency to want to have their intellect tickled and that kind of a deal. So he does it on purpose. But they miss what he's saying because of how he says it. You get caught up in the tone of something as opposed to what's being said. That's the devil's way of saying, well, I don't like how he said it. Well, is what he said true? What would you care if somebody said to you, Brother Art, the building's on fire. Could you please evacuate as orderly as possible? Yeah. Or if somebody said, there's a fire burning. And I hate to disturb you, but if you could please exit, we would really... Why would you care if somebody screamed fire if you got out? And how dare you to go out? You know, the lady one time, there was 9 people that were out there in the ocean, and this guy jumped out there and got him a rowboat, and he went out there through that storm, and he grabbed the first 3 or 4. He got 8 of them. The 9th one was a woman, and she was going down, and he grabbed her by the hair of the head and pulled her up in the boat there and rowed over there. You know what that woman said about that? Nothing about, hey, thank you for saving me. You know what she said? She said, he pulled my hair. You were drowning. I'm thinking, I'm going to pull it and take you back out there and drop you off again. That's what she said. That's a documented case. There were 9 people out there. He went back and forth and got every one of them and then realized that woman was out there and grabbed her. And you know what she said? He grabbed my hair. What kind of a deal is that? That's a stinking reprobate is what it is. I don't care if you pull my arm off. I'd rather have my arm off than to be dead. He pulled my hair. Ephesians chapter number 4. That's strange how people are about that kind of stuff. I guess she figured there wasn't that she didn't need anybody. I guess she'd have drowned without him. But she didn't like how he saved him. I don't know how the Lord's going to save some of you. There's some of you here that are still lost. I don't know what he's going to do to get your attention. I don't know what he's going to do to... He has a special way of dealing. My salvation will have some resemblance to, say, Brother Munro's back there. Or Brother Gross is up here. Or Brother Larry's. There's some similarities, but the way the Lord dealt with all 4 of us is different because he knows exactly what wrench fits the nut we are. I'll guarantee you he dealt with Brother Sam differently than he dealt with me. Brother Roger differently, 56 years of age. But there's similarities, you see. All right, Ephesians, let me hurry. Ephesians 3, verse number 1, for this cause... I, Paul, be a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you who? Are you with me? Ephesians 3, look at verse 1. For you who? Good. Don't be afraid to speak. The Bible says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to who? You. A dispensation of the grace of God? Yeah, how about that? It's right in your Bible. The dispensation of grace. And people say dispensations aren't in the Bible. Well, there was a special dispensing of grace given to Paul to give you a gospel. And the gospel is different than the other ones. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. There's certain things the Apostle Paul got that nobody else ever had before. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Here's you a good verse that you might want to just kind of think if you listen to me for a second. Look at verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What he's trying to get across to you there is that if you will learn to do the right thing for the right reason, if your motive is right but your method is messed up, God will show you that your method is messed up, but he'll reward you for your motive, your willingness. I want to serve the Lord. And then you get out there and you mess the thing up. And the Lord says, you know what? That's a soup sandwich. You shouldn't do stuff like that, but I sure appreciate you trying. God likes the fact that you try and fail and get back up. It's not a matter of being perfect. It's a matter of being faithful. Faithfulness is the big thing to the Lord. It's not that you hit a home run every time you're bat. He just appreciates you if you get up there and keep striking out. Now, he might tell you, you know what, next time you go to the plate, you might take a bat with you. But I appreciate that you're at least stepping into the batter's box. Do you see? It's not about perfection. It's about, listen, your motive. I want to do this. And then you do the best you can. But as time goes on, you learn that, man, my method is messed up. And the Lord looks at it and said, well, that's all right. We'll fix that, but I appreciate you trying anyhow. God likes you to try. Verse number 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. So he's saying, you follow me, and you don't follow people that don't do what I do. Romans tells you clearly to mark those that have doctrines different than Paul teaches you and avoid them. He doesn't tell you to argue with them. He just says stay away from them. Why? Law of gravity applies. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. A fellow called the other day. He was embroiled in an argument with one of those people that came by. Black tie, white, Jehovah's Witness. A little tired, sorry. They came by there and they were arguing. He called me. He went into the, excused himself, said he was going to the bathroom, and he's on the back of there on his cell phone. He said, hey, preacher, I got this Jehovah's Witness over here. He's whispering like that. I said, why are you whispering, brother? He goes, because they're here. Where's that verse on? I said, hey, brother, I gave him the verses on a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted. He sinneth against himself. I gave him a passage in Titus that says that they can't recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They're taken captive by him his will because they're proud and so on and so forth. And he said, well, why'd you give me that? I said, because you're wasting your time. Their doctrines mess up. Paul didn't tell you anywhere to argue with them. They're not interested in hearing what you have to say. They're interested in dispensing their material. What's the point of arguing with them? The Lord gave you great liberty to excuse them. It's a strange thing about Christians. The Lord gives you liberty on this case. A fellow comes over there, he says, while you were sleeping, you know, the devil came in, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. You know what the Lord says to do with that? He says, Lord, you want us to get the tares out? And the Lord says, leave the tares alone. You know what we do? We always messing with the tares. The Lord gave you a clear order and the liberty to ignore it and just let it go. And we can't leave it alone. We just keep going back in there. The Lord says, you keep messing with them tares, you're going to mess up the wheat. Leave it alone. But we can't leave it alone. Inquiring minds, we just have to dig it up. We just have to keep messing with it. And oftentimes when that stuff gets dug up, it stinks when it comes up. Well, praise the Lord, I had to have a little preaching along with the teaching there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look, if you will, please, in verse number, let's make it 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That matches that passage in Corinthians where the Apostle Paul basically says that when the word of God came, it came not in word only, but in bodily form. Basically, you've heard the statement made, you are the only Bible people read. That's a true statement. They don't know anything about words on a page. They judge the Lord and the Bible by you calling yourself a Christian. So they watch what you do, how you live, how you act, what you wear, what you listen to, where you go, what you do. You're the only Bible. I don't know whether or not they're reading an NIV or an RSV or what they're reading when they look at you. I couldn't tell you. But I know this, it's a manifestation of a witness for Christ. They watch how you conduct business, whether you're honest or not. That's what Christianity means to people. How many of you have ever witnessed to somebody, or maybe you weren't witnessing, maybe just inviting somebody to church, and you've heard this statement, well, there's just too many hypocrites in the church. Let me see your hands. Well, it's nearly everybody in here. You say, well, why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because there are. Now, here's the truth of the matter. They shouldn't say that. But we shouldn't be that. They're wrong in what they're doing. But we shouldn't be the hypocrite. We're easy targets. We're easy targets. Well, you know, if they can't, I just tell them this. Well, there's plenty of room for another, and come on and join us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and now we're going to pick up verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul said, you became followers of us. All right, just a couple more. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I'm right on time. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. So So the Apostle Paul lays out for you some principles, but the Apostle Paul tells you all through these Pauline epistles that there are certain things that you as Christians should pay attention to, and that's why the Pauline writings, the majority of them, have nothing to do with salvation. They have to do with how you live your Christian life. He gave you a manual. He said, this is what you do in all the situations that you have. That's the Apostle Paul saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is the right way to live. I'm setting an example. When your kids are growing up, don't you set an example by what you do more than what you say? Don't you show your kids how to eat by making some kind of a deal with a spoon or whatever, or show them how to hold something? You show them. They don't understand how all the ligaments and the tendons work and how the fingers close in and the digits on the hand begin to move in such a fashion the ligaments begin to withdraw and contract and other ones lengthen and stretch out in order for the hand to close. And then all of a sudden as you're picking up, the forearm is engaged, which engages the bicep. The bicep shortens, but the tricep lengthens. And then the shoulder of the deltoid, the front deltoid, is engaged as you remove it. And then the hinge of the jaw opens up and you put that in there and the teeth begin to masticate the food. And then as you swallow, it's in, mixed in with enzymes and stuff, and it goes past your lungs, your windpipe there. There's a little flap that closes over that so that it passes safely down the esophagus and into the beginning of your stomach, and then it goes through the little port, I can't remember the name of the little valve down there at the bottom, and it opens into the small intestine and the villi grab a hold of the food and take the nutrients out of it. Then the rest goes into through the liver and out. They don't know all that. You know what you say? You pick up a fork and you stick it in a piece of meat and you chew it. They don't know all that other stuff, how the liver and the gallbladder works and how you have to have bile mixed with the fatty foods and things like that in order for it to get digested for you to pick up the nutrients and stuff. They don't understand words. You show them by actions. Watch. 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. So you know what they do? They understand the only thing that they can understand. That's watching another human being. So they watch you. That's how they learn about Christianity. That's how your kids learn about Christianity. You don't sit down with a Bible when they're in the womb and explain the gospel to them. They don't get it. They get out and you're reading the Bible to them when they're infants. They don't get that. They watch you. They learn about your fear of God by watching you. You become like God to them. You become their Bible. And then one day they start realizing, man, I don't want to go to hell. And then the next thing you know, they get saved. Why did they get saved? It's not because they understood all of everything. They understood the principle of what it's like to live that kind of way. I still believe in living a Christian life. I still think it's right. I think if nothing else, it is selfish on your part when you live your life for yourself and you don't care if anybody else goes to hell and you're saved. That's what I think. So you're entitled to your beliefs. And then, okay, well, we'll see what the Lord thinks. The Lord saved you, and then after He saved you, you know what He said? You're ministers of reconciliation. You know what He said? He said, you have now the ability to reconcile other people, introduce them to me so I can reconcile them to their master up there, their Savior, God. I mean, Jesus Christ can introduce them to the Father, God. And He don't have much time for you if all you do is just live for yourself, and you're saved. And when people are around you and you do stuff with them and do all the things you shouldn't be doing, make a bad under-the-table business deal or whatever it might be, you know, for the benefit of, you know, whatever good reason it is, and give the Lord a little cut off the top or whatever, He don't want your filthy money. When you do that kind of stuff, you know what the Lord does? The Lord just looks at it and laughs. But I think He gets grieved by it because He saved you for more than just not going to hell. He saved you so that now you can tell others about Him. Well, what are you telling them? Well, I don't appreciate that. Well, why do you think you're saved? Just to sit on your blessed assurance? If you're not saved to get people saved, what's the point of you being saved? What do you think pleases Him most? What He died for? Sure. What did He die for? To save us from our sins so we don't have to go to hell. So it pleases Him when He sees you bring somebody else to Him. Watch. There's a woman over here, she's at the well, John 4. She's there at the well, Syrophoenician woman. You need a drink, sister? I'd love to have a drink. What are you? I'm here to get some water. You ain't even got a pot to draw with. What are you down here? You're saying getting water. You're not here to get water. You're up to something. What are you up to? Well, I was going to offer you some water where if you get this water, you'll never thirst again. And she said, I sure would like that. Are you that guy? He said, let me ask you a question. Here comes the pipe cleaner. Are you married? She says, no. He said, well said. The one you're with, somebody else's husband, and you've been with five other husbands. And she said, how dare you speak to me in such fashion? I can't even believe you. No, she didn't say that. She goes, you're right. You got me. He said, you thirsty? And forgave her right on the spot. Well, what did she do? Just start living a clean life? No, she went and told everybody in the town. And the apostles are in the same town. She turns everybody in the town out. Because God did something for her when He saved her. This is going to hurt a little bit, but I guess from the likes of some of you, God never did nothing for you. The last time you told somebody about Him, or by how you lived, showed them. Christmas time, talking about the baby in the manger. I know He's not a baby no more. I realize He's born and died and then resurrected, and He's not there, seated at the right hand of the Father. I get that. But you want to make Christmas about Christ? Then tell somebody He ain't a baby no more. Who's interested in having a Christmas party and being popular with everybody and going to the office party and having a little pop, you know, and running around in a little jingle bell suit or something, dressing up like a... I don't know how I got on all that. Must be fatigue. 2 Thessalonians 3. Look, if you will, please, verse number 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Well, that's a pretty firm statement there, Paul. What's it in reference to? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren. How dare you, Paul, talk to me like that? Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. Amen. You know what he said? He said, follow us. Why? Because we didn't behave disorderly. Amen. Don't tell me the Bible don't tell you not to behave disorderly. It does. And Paul says, I'm telling you to do what you've seen me do. I didn't come in just words. A little bit further there, verse number 9. The Bible says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Ensample is the word there that you would know as example. An ensample just means a demonstration of it. One more and we'll go to the barn. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. You preacher, you ruined my Christmas. Well, I didn't mean to, but... People say Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason for everything. Not just the season. He's the reason for everything. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the reason you're breathing right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Now let's give credit where credit's due. If Jesus wasn't living in you, would you be sitting in a church house tonight? There ain't no way. Not a single one of us would be sitting here. You say, what did that? The Lord put that in you. Jesus is the reason for everything you've got. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15 is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Here's the Apostle Paul toward the end of his ministry, of which I am chief. The old saying is, if he can save a chief, then he can certainly save us little Indians. But Paul says, I'm chief of sinners. Did you ever look at the Apostle Paul's life? Goodness, man. You find that guy one time, the Lord getting on to him one time over there where he gets smacked and the Lord said, and Paul said, the Lord smite thee, you whited wall. And Jesus said, now, Paul, is that any way to talk to a heathen Jew, unsaved Jew like that, that smacked you? I mean, they smacked me. I didn't speak back. Who are you, Paul? And Paul's like, yeah, I'm sorry about that. But other than that, tell me where you find Paul going wrong after he's saved. You won't find much. And he said, I'm chief of sinners. Well, how can you be chief of sinners, Paul? I mean, now that you're saved, born again, blood washed, glory to God, hallelujah, don't you know you can't sin anymore? Paul said, my soul can't. But don't you kid yourself. I have to reckon myself dead every day. You say, why? Because that thing keeps coming out of the ground. And it stinks. Paul said to himself, if you read Romans 7, there's things I should do. And I don't do them. And it grieved him. You say, why? That's learning to walk in the Spirit. All right, last one. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul's a pattern. Paul's a pattern. I'll give you that one verse in 1 Corinthians 3 real quick. 1 Corinthians 3 and we'll go home. 1 Corinthians 3. And in 3 it's 1. Yeah, there it is. 1 Corinthians 1. Now this is that passage where people want to believe baptism is part of salvation. Baptism's not part of salvation. Verse 11, 1:11. Excuse me, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that are there are contentions among you. Why? Because they're in church. Now this I say, that every one of you that saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, so we did baptize. Lest any time that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptize also the household of Stephanas, so he baptized them also. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made manifest in none effect. Now, what did he just say? He said, I baptized, but my purpose was to preach the gospel. So people are saved by the gospel. They're not saved by baptism. Now, that's your verses on Pauline epistles. And I hope and pray you'll consider coming Sunday. Come to Sunday school and start getting some practical teaching about keeping some things in your life the way it ought to be so you can stay hooked up with the Lord. You're going into a time where you're going to need to be able to get prayers answered. And you're going into a time where you're going to need to be able to... Somebody sent me a video thing of them still, they're still selling food and stuff. Like, you know, the world's going to come to an end. And a lot of them got shot in the foot over that. The world don't come to the end until after the Battle of Armageddon and after the Millennial Kingdom, after the Battle of Gog and Magog. And you don't even need to worry. You say, why? Because you're going to heaven.
Amen.
So don't sweat it. What about your kids? They'll go up instead of grow up. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
It's going to be all right.